Hello there, and welcome to the Natalie and
Dennis
Show podcast. You did it. Yay.
Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome back to a new episode. How has your week been?
I'm so shocked that you didn't say Fry-yay.
I know.
That's like your thing on Instagram, on TikTok.
I know. I'll be honest. I think it's so annoying.
The Fry-yay.
But the reason I do it is because I used to watch The Real.
Yeah.
The show, I love that show, and it got discontinued.
I don't know, like it too much.
It's my favorite. Oh my God, this is our time.
So when we would make breakfast in the mornings, Natalie would play reruns of The Real.
Yeah.
She would go on YouTube and play videos of The Real.
Okay, I love it.
It was constantly on our TV.
And you know what we watch now? Despierta America.
We put Despierta America on in the morning. And the funny thing is, like, we have inside jokes about shows or whatever.
Yeah, there's a bald guy.
So sometimes Despierta America cuts to local news. And man, there's just like this bald guy for Central Florida where we live. And it's just constant bad news.
So every time he's on, Dennis is like, oh, it's the bald guy.
It's the harbinger of death.
And then it's just like really horrible things.
What is up with news? Not talking about the good stuff. I feel like it's so constantly on the bad. Does that bring about more views?
Yeah. I mean, think about magazines, tabloids, like the good stuff doesn't sell, unfortunately.
I don't understand what that is. Like,
people's interest.
But they should mix it. Because
you're going to talk more about something bad that is shocking.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, somebody just volunteered at your local.
I swear to God, the news is constantly like, man gets shot downtown Orlando. Like,
I will say, I'm not a fan of starting the day with the news. Yeah. I always tell Dennis it sets the tone for just like you get more anxious. It's not. Like, why?
I do believe that if the news was a little bit brighter, a little bit happier, I would be more inclined to watch it too. But how do you blend in the bad news and the good news and balance it out?
Well, that actually happened.
Yeah.
Where it was the weirdest episode of Despierta America, where one of this lady, an actress, she lost her baby.
I remember that.
So it was super sad. Everybody's like sending her condolences. And then the guy's like, and moving into TikTok trends of the week.
And then they start dancing.
And I was like, such a hard switch.
Yeah.
It didn't feel normal.
There is a balance. There is first of all,
right? It's like, where's the baby?
Much.
And then the rest. It just didn't feel good.
Hosting is an art form.
It is an art form.
And controlling the emotions of the room, knowing when to back away from a topic, when to dive it deeper into a topic.
Wait. Have you guys ever been to a comedy show? Like a live comedy show?
No.
I went with you.
Yeah, I know you have, but yeah. I have to ask. You always do this to me. So anyways, at a live comedy show, the comedians... Oh my God, you guys. What?
No way.
Your class sign-ups.
This happened last week too. Sign up. Just do it.
No, I'm not going to freaking
sign
do
up
it.
For it. Do
no,
it.
Yeah. I'm taking a break tomorrow, guys.
Okay.
Anyways, going back to comedians.
The stand-ups, right? Yes.
There are people in the show who are rude.
Yep.
Who will like, let's say the guy is making a joke.
Are you talking about the person on stage or
no,
the audience?
The audience.
Oh,
they have
a
name for that.
Hecklers. Yeah.
Haters.
Haters. That works too.
So then the person will be like, that's so stupid. And then the other person has to kind of be like, well, what's so stupid about that? Like they almost have to keep the conversation. I cannot imagine how difficult that is to be quick on your feet. It can be awkward. But usually that person is either drunk or not right in the head. It's
right.
It's
no,
really
I
weird.
Can't do that because he's somebody reading his
mind. Stand-up comedy attracts a lot of interesting people. Not just the comedians, but the crowd.
Can I just say, I have so many friends who do stand-up comedy. It's
and they're
so
all
funny.
Very odd.
They're all weird.
They're very weird people. And like the
it's
audience,
so
literally anyone in the audience could probably do stand-up too. There's something about stand-up people.
Well, I mean, think about it. It's like whenever you go play soccer, those watching are usually people that play soccer. So when you're, not always though, I would never be on stage like that. That is the scariest thing going
why?
On. Because that, hey, what if you go up and nobody laughs? It's so
that it's very awkward. Yeah.
Wait, you know what? We should take you to a comedy club when Saina gets
well, you have to turn 21 first though.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, yes.
Wait, 21. When's your birthday, Davi?
August.
Amazing.
Okay. So August we'll go to a stand-up comedy club.
For your 21st birthday.
It's honestly not very, I don't like stand-up comedy like that. Like,
Okay, you know what?
A lot of the funny jokes are like rude and like they are sexual and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. No, some are pretty funny. Like you have to go with a light heart, but I hate it when they call you out. That is the worst. It's like, you looking funny guy over there with the curly hair. What's your name?
What do you do for a living? And then they just break
they,
you.
They bribe into your life and it's so uncomfortable.
What are you going to do if ask you, Danny? For real.
I would leave. I just stand up and leave.
No, I go
to the bathroom.
You know what you have to do? You just have to smile through the paint.
Yeah, you just you're smile. Like but that's why you don't sit front row.
That's true. They always will pick on you. So anyways.
Well, anyways, there is something about stand-up comedians that kind of goes hand in hand with poor mental health.
With what mental health?
Poor mental health. Poor mental health.
Yeah.
All comedians have this depression issue. A lot of funny people. I think about Robin Williams a lot. He actually did stand-up comedy. A lot of actors do stand-up comedy prior to entering acting. And there is like this darker side to them that they don't share with the world. And
there's a theory to that.
Go ahead.
They say that comedians are some of the smartest people. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you have to be able to be quick on your feet, relate, and know a little bit about everything. And if you think about it, I believe there's a quote that ignorance is temporary bliss. Mm-hmm. So the smarter you are, supposedly, it correlates to the more depressed you are in life too.
Yeah.
Because you know too much. Sometimes it's nice to be dumb and happy.
That is true. Well, anyways, I guess a lot of the comedians in the room in the stand-up comedy show are very intelligent, I guess, based on your facts or whatever. So they go through issues.
That was good facts. I'm thinking about it now. That shit got me to think.
Well, what is, when you look at someone, a comedian in this case or whatever,
yeah,
what screams I'm not doing well mentally?
When you see a comedian?
Or anyone. You're not, you need me to repeat a lot today.
No, I'm sorry. I was just thinking about the comedian.
Well, okay. One example is a lot of comedians don't look like they're very hygienic.
Why are you picking on comedians?
Well, I don't know. It's a comedian day.
Oh, no. Let's go back to the question. First of all, comedian.
I'm sticking to the comedians. Let me finish my thought. What's up? Okay. First of all, comedians, all of them take a drink up into the stage. They all have that little
because it's scary.
Wine or whatever. And then some of them like are so, a lot of them smoke.
Because it's cigarettes. Scary to go up there. It takes a lot of gut.
And that's why I'm saying a lot of them experience depression. It's a very stressful environment.
Well, let me tell you something else. Going back to the comedian thing. From what I saw, a lot of them go up and tell very personal stories, but they poke at it.
Self-deprecation.
Yeah. And somewhere in there, it does hurt.
It's truth, isn't it?
Somewhere in there, it's like, oh, I was adopted. My mom didn't want me.
I've always been the fat guy.
Yeah. And to be so vulnerable in front of strangers, that can be a pretty difficult thing, in my opinion. But to answer your question about what screams somebody is having a bad time in
mentally,
for me personally, I feel like whenever I have outbursts, so like I just get triggered and I'll be mean to someone, or you know what I mean? Like something is happening in my life where I almost have to check myself and be like, what? Why did I just do that? That's not right. You know? So for me, it's outbursts, but I won't notice it until I see the shame that it makes me feel. Like if somebody's looking at me like, whoa, why'd you just do that? You know, then I'm like, oh, what's going on? Like, am I doing okay? Like,
yeah. For me, it can be a little bit of procrastination. For a lot of people that eat poorly, and this is similar to that, I ordered my mom a pizza a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And she had already had Chipotle on that day. And she said to me, and I quote, mm-hmm, I'm fat already. I already ate bad today. What more is just one pizza? Like on top of that.
Damn. You think she's depressed?
Right. When you procrastinate, especially if you've already procrastinated, mm-hmm, you feel like it's okay to procrastinate more.
That's so true.
It kind
it's
of
a vicious cycle
builds upon itself where you leave it to the last second. You say,
that's
true. I already moved it a day. There's nothing wrong with moving it one more.
That's the worst. That happens a lot for me with filming.
Yeah.
If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to film this video and I don't do it, I find an excuse or it's a real excuse. I always say I'll do it the next day and it never happens. We always get skipped.
We have been working for a long time together, and the way we distribute work amongst yourself and I has changed throughout our entire career.
So much.
We've learned each other's strengths, our weaknesses. I'm currently doing emails. You're doing all the filming, all the editing, and then I'll come to you with like, oh, but this brand wants this and this and this. I'm very like to the point, the notes. I don't overthink things. I've learned to do my parts effectively.
Mm-hmm.
When the anxiety hits is when a job that's not appropriately assigned is given to me.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, for example, I'm told do a task, for example.
But then how do you grow?
Yeah. But at the same time, what I just said, it's important to also acknowledge who's good at what. And it can, there's a balance to it, mm-hmm. right? And this is going off of my procrastination issue, right? We all have our own problems, but I'm telling you about my own.
Okay, interesting.
When a task is given to me and it causes me some sort of anxiety, I know I'm not good at it, I procrastinate it, and then it leads into issues. And then when we're reviewing our calendar, you're like, why haven't you done this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, oh, I just feel like I'm not good at it. I'm not going to complete it properly. I procrastinate it. It's an issue. It's a problem that I have.
Over that, because to me that's unacceptable.
I know it is.
Yeah,
it's a problem.
Yeah.
And so lots of times
I just want to clarify something. Yeah. It's unacceptable to me if I am the teammate and like you were assigned that and you're like, well, I just can't because I just can't.
I think
right, because then it makes the whole team.
I think first of all, you have to, when you get assigned the job, you have to be upfront and say, hey, how do I feel about this or that was given to me?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, is it acceptable to turn something down just because you're not good at it?
That's the part, because I feel like a lot of times you grow. So like, for example, one thing that I really appreciated about Sabina used to be here with us, is she would not know how to do something, but she would try. She actually sometimes would fail. I remember one time she posted a brand deal and it was a huge mess up.
Yep.
And the brand was like, hey, you have to take that down. And then she came to me and she apologized. And I was like, honestly, like I've made mistakes so many times. To me, the issue is if you don't try. But if you're trying, I appreciate that. And that goes a long way for me. So that's why I can't really relate to that.
I think, so an example, a lot of people who do IT work mm-hmm. are very introverted. And so when it comes to someone, you know, emailing the IT department, oh, my computer's having an issue. There's always like that problem with like communication with IT, because they're really good at fixing computers, but they're really bad at like getting back to people and talking. Mm-hmm. So it's like mixing what you're bad at with what you're good at, and then trying to find results when there's like an issue there.
No, but I also agree with what you're saying. Like you have to know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
Like if you make me in charge of emails, I'm never going to respond.
Exactly.
So it just.
Or another thing that we've learned is like for the creative process, sometimes it's hard for you to take it up off the ground.
It's really hard.
And so when I give you like a basis, or I jumpstart it for you, you can take it and create something amazing.
Yeah.
But at the bare level of inception of the idea,
it's too really, many ideas, it's too many. So I get overwhelmed and then I overthink it. Yeah.
So I said that for me, a sign of mental issues or in that moment is procrastination. You mentioned that it was what?
Outbursts. But if we're really talking mental, like my lowest that I've ever been, it's kind of like hibernating, like staying in, eating bad, not showering.
You go to bed.
Sleeping.
Staying in bed all the time.
Staying in bed. Like that to me is a sign for me that, oh, I'm not doing well. You know, I don't want to get up.
When you're not creating, I also realize that you're not doing very well.
Really?
Yeah. You kind of like avoid certain things.
That's true.
Have you noticed things about me? Because one thing is to say, like I said, I procrastinate, but another thing is for another person to like observe it. Like observe the person in a moment of stress or mental. It kind of like we said, I'm not doing so. What screams that about the other person?
For you, I do not know. To be honest, I feel like you're very stable. So, and I also feel that your job title hasn't brought about as much stress as mine.
Yeah.
So it also allows for more emotional stability. But recently you've had more.
Emotional stability or more work?
Responsibilities.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'd be curious to know.
I mean, it's hard. I can't answer for you because it's something that's observed.
I know. You know? Maybe I just don't observe it.
For you, you get fidgety. Yes, you do stay in bed. You start to kind of snack a little bit. You stop working out. Mm-hmm. There's like a whole process.
Yeah.
Like it begins with some small stuff and then it starts to escalate and get bigger and bigger until it's like in the way.
And you know how I fix that is by redirecting and going backwards and like, okay, I'm going to get out of bed early. I'm going to start working out again. I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Like all of that stuff helps me a lot. And like, for example, this morning I woke up at 4:30 a.m.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a little intense, but I felt like I needed a day where I went to the gym. I had a really slow morning. And it allowed me to like reconnect with myself, which I felt I haven't had a moment for, you know, which is kind of weird that waking up early helps me with that, but it does.
What about you, Debbie? When you're experiencing like a mental moment or anxiety, what are some symptoms that you feel that show?
Mm-hmm.
I think I start like moving around to my house, mm-hmm. como recoger las cosas.
Okay.
I say pick it up
things. Like staying busy.
Yeah, so I go to the gym.
Oh, that's good though.
Sí, I go to the gym, es estrés allá. I take a shower, I go to the sauna.
like, that's not a mental issue.
But you know what that is? He's coping self-care. With it. That's really good. So when you feel like that, you actually work on it.
Yeah, no, cuando no siento que no estoy haciendo nada, como que like anxiety, I'm not going to the gym, do my workout, cheat in my phone. All my phone, nice. All my things, go to design, and when I come back, ya se me pasó como la cosa.
That's good. That's actually good that you know how to cope with it.
So I'm gonna go down this list.
Yeah.
And then you tell me if you've ever experienced this or experienced this with a friend.
Okay.
And we can expand upon it. So what screams I'm not doing so well mentally? When they quit reaching out. When a friend stops reaching out. When you start reaching out, mm-hmm. I guess in a way your whole, like I told you, you kind of stop posting.
Oh.
Is like you're not reaching out anymore to others.
So I think that's interesting because one of my friends recently just posted on her social media and she was like, hey everyone, I've gotten a lot of DMs. People are like concerned. I haven't posted in like 3 months, whatever. And she's like, I'm alive. I just took a social media break. So what I think is interesting is the fact that some people expect that of others. I think that
the posting
could be a little much.
Yeah, because one thing is for like personal texting, personal calling. Like if you're used to calling your cousin or your friend or whatever constantly and then they don't call.
Yeah.
Then you're like, hey, what's up? Right.
But at the same time, for example, me and my cousin that I speak to almost every day.
Yeah.
Life changes. So she now lives with her partner. And so I'm not the one.
So you're anymore. Just not talking to her as often?
Yeah, because she's with him.
Well, okay. Another one is low tolerance to everyday stresses.
Okay.
And in terms of that, I feel like I've got a good grip on it.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to start to have a little bit of issues when it comes to
noise. Yeah, it's funny because my friend, just Jennifer, she just had a baby and I was messaging her saying, hey, how are you doing? And so she was like, well, right now we're waking up every 2 hours, but that doesn't mean I'm sleeping every 2 hours because I have to put the baby to sleep, like change the diaper, all that stuff. So she's like, I'm not getting a lot of sleep. However, I haven't found myself being irritated by her crying. And I think to myself, oh, I think a baby crying is going to irritate me.
when Natalie's in bed,
that's what I think for it, me too.
It's hard.
When Natalie's like, in bed.
You'll be in bed chilling and it's like,
well, just so she was saying that she's able to control her emotions, but it's when the baby's like obviously can't breathe, I guess. That then, I guess there's like if she chokes on her, I don't know. Like, I don't know much.
We've never experienced anything like that. We've never
experienced that. But I think about that.
There's times that you're in bed and I'll be like in my room, which is like a good 20 feet away, with my door ajar, kind of closed, kind of open. Man, I open up TikTok. No lie, 15 seconds, 15 or less. Handsome. From the other side of the house, turn down the volume or close your door.
I don't know if our walls are just weak.
I swear to God, our house is like haunted at night. It's why? Quiet. It's so quiet.
But that's the thing. I feel like you hear everything, every echo. You know what I mean?
But like all the TVs, you turn them all off.
Yeah.
All the lights, you turn them all off.
I love quiet.
It's,
and dark.
It's like candlelight darkness. Yeah. Natalie in the bed with the blankets and her phone.
I'm
like,
not like, on my phone.
Well, or your phone, or like doing something on your tablet. You're preparing for the next day.
Oh, my tablet for sure.
It's like we're living on a farm, like at night, and the quietness is so eerie. And then like maybe I'll watch a TikTok and it's like some random trendy song, and it irritates you.
I know. I don't know. I think it's just my mind. I don't like noise. I,
if you were living with David, Christian, and Marta, you'd have a bad time.
Really? Yeah. Why?
He hit everything.
You hear everything?
When we playing together, because...
Oh, because you live in the same place. Yes, that's why, yeah.
Yeah, I hear... no.
Wait, how do you do it then? That's hard.
I accustomed it, right? I can sleep. Christian can put music in her and I can...
I can imagine Davi's mom in the side playing like relaxing music, mantras, praying.
Wait,
doing
who's
all
the
sorts
quietest?
Of stuff.
Who's the quietest?
I think Christian loves being quiet.
Really?
And being concentrated.
Aww.
For me, I don't care. For real, I can do my homework and they can talk to me. And
that's
I can.
Awesome.
When
Davi
connects on Call of Duty, first thing, reggaeton in the background.
Really?
And then he's like, Alexa, volumen dos, because he has to turn it down. And then we're all just laughing at the amount of noise coming from his microphone.
Really?
It's like a party. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, my mom hearing TikTok over there, like mantra stuff. And my bro hearing music, talking, hablando con la novia. Es uno.
Wow.
Another one is dropping out of hobbies. Stopping hobbies completely.
Really? Oh, that could be.
What would you say is your current hobby?
Gardening.
And you already had it before. I think you picked it up and then you kind of stopped.
Gardening or what?
Yeah, gardening. You bought your really nice white big thing that creates like fruits and vegetables.
No, I haven't bought that again because they're $3 a piece now. Hello.
But you did that for a little bit and then you kind of stopped and then all of your plants kind of died. You away from gardening.
Everything died.
Do you remember why you stopped gardening and why you started again?
I think I just got overwhelmed, to be honest. Gardening, can I tell you how long it takes me to garden every day? Minimum 35 minutes.
Wow.
That's a long time, guys. That's like a whole workout. Yeah. Like I have to garden. I have to look at this flower. I'm like, she's not doing good. Let me do this. Like it's a whole science.
That's good.
It is fun. Yeah.
And you're doing the morning?
In the morning, always. I love it. It's my little morning.
We have this inside joke and we've mentioned it in other podcasts, how when a creator starts to not look as good, starts to gain a little bit of weight.
It's not an inside joke, honey.
It's,
we don't laugh at that.
No, fine. Okay. I phrased it incorrectly. It's a observation we have that when a creator is going really hard and doing very well
on YouTube,
you let yourself go a little bit. You overeat a little bit too much.
It happens to all of us, dude. I see it all the time.
Success brings stress.
Sometimes if you don't know how to manage the success. It was funny because I was on Lucy Fink's podcast. Yeah. And I don't remember what it was, but the other day I was going through my screenshots of people being like, hey, I like the episode, blah, blah, blah. And somebody commented, and they were like, not Natalie crying of her success. Because in the episode, I was like, I didn't know what to do with all this money. And it was a funny comment. I was like, that is hilarious because sometimes you don't know how to manage so many things, you know, that are being thrown at you. It's kind of like when they say more money, more problems. Like, honestly,
suffering from success.
Suffering from success. It's a thing. It's so unrelatable, but it's very true at times because it's hard to manage everything.
A lot of people would say that childbirth is a beautiful thing.
I don't know who said that.
It's a moment in life you'll always remember, whether, you know, the good and the bad that goes with it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that.
There's always chatter. People ask, how did your pregnancy go?
Oh, yeah.
What was your pregnancy like? Did you have any cravings? Did you have any of this? There's a lot of like sharing, right?
Yes, yes. I'm really happy, though, that people have not been, what's the word, sprinkling it so much. You know, like women used to be like, oh, this is so easy. It's beautiful. But now people are like, this is the worst. Like, this is hard.
I do believe like a lot of people ask about the pregnancy and not so much the labor.
Because it's so personal, you know?
Yeah. So the labor, basically, the question of the labor goes, how did the labor go?
Yeah.
Easy or not easy?
Yeah.
Epidural, not epidural? Yeah, yeah. And then the conversation ends.
And that's it, yeah.
It's not, did you tear anything? It's not like, how long was it is a normal question too, right?
How long was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the one I can never get behind?
Tell me.
Girls are so scared to poop themselves during birth.
It's very common.
Who cares? As long as I don't rip. I don't care. Like, I don't know why that's such an issue. Like, let that shit because I do not want to tear.
Let that shit. That's, write that in the comments, guys. Let's fill up the comments with that new quote. Let that shit. I need to get a shirt that says let that shit.
No, but honestly, ladies, do not worry. Like, that's so normal. And you're pushing, for God's sake, a baby out of your, you know. Like, it's okay. It's okay if that happens.
There's like a community of runners on an app called Strava. Mm-hmm. And people take Strava super seriously. It is like their resume of life. Like, I'm telling you, people love this app. Mm-hmm. Any type of workout, Strava it. Everything that they do. And so when you don't Strava something, it's like it didn't happen. That's how they feel. It's kind of like Instagram, your stories. Food, if you didn't story it, didn't happen.
Oh,
this lady recently went viral because she actually Strava'd her pregnancy.
What's the problem with that?
It went viral. It's a running app and she put her childbirth on Strava. It's like you hitting your Apple Watch as a workout, but you're having pregnancy.
Wait, so tell me about this. So it says how many calories?
She burned like 800 calories having pregnancy. Cow. And it said 5 hours, 40 minutes. Literally the moment the doctor said you're going into labor, she hit her Garmin watch.
That's good to know.
Like hit other activity, hit it. And then like she like burned calories and it's whatever. It got really popular on the app.
That's
childbirth on Strava.
I might want to do that.
It's pretty cool. But this leads us into the next topic. What are side effects of giving birth that don't get talked about often enough? Oh. So that's what I meant. A lot of the conversations in terms of pregnancy start and end at pregnancy, not so much about labor.
That's true.
What are some, do you have any little tidbits about labor? Maybe some friends have told you about any little bit of information you want to share?
Okay, this one's not really about labor though. That's the thing. I just never knew your nipples look like that when you're pregnant. That one always startles me.
Recently, Natalie had a friend who went through pregnancy. And apparently, I haven't seen nipples like this, but like that they get very large.
Only do they grow large because supposedly...
No, I think for the baby, right?
Right. It's so that it's darker as well, so that the baby, because the baby can't see, so supposedly it's like they
it's
see
like a target.
It. Yeah. But for me, what really impressed me is the nipple size. Sorry, not like the areola, but like the freaking nipple. It's like this.
Like a finger.
That's different.
Well, thank you for that little tidbit, Natalie. I have a list of things here.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you've never heard of any of these things happening. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of tell me how shocked you are.
Let's see. Because I do watch a lot of pregnancy vlogs. They were my favorite.
The very first time you stand up after childbirth, all your insides go downwards.
Oh.
And then everybody in the comments were talking about how weird of a feeling it is that everybody experiences. But basically, when you stand up, your organs settle again at the bottom of your stomach.
You know, that reminds me, your mom always mentioned that her labor hurt, but delivering the placenta hurt more. They don't talk about after you give birth to your baby, you have to deliver something else. What? This is so hard.
I do believe that sometimes it goes out with it.
Me. When I give birth, you better do a party.
I'm gonna go straight millennial. You're a girl boss. You total badass.
You better bring me food, praise me, everything.
Okay. Postpartum.
That's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be hard.
Postpartum. Postpartum anxiety.
You keep interrupting Dennis. He's pissed.
So someone had arachnophobia.
What's that?
Fear of spiders.
Okay.
Arachnophobia. Mm-hmm.
And then they said, I always hated spiders, but it was never something that prevented from living my normal life until after birth. My arachnophobia got worse. It got to the extreme. So a lot of people after birth experience extreme levels of anxiety.
Wait, I've heard of this actually. Yes, a lot of women also experience this fear of going out with their kid because it's almost like you would protect them here and now it's like they're in the real world. I can see that being a thing. It's
from this though, it seems like anxieties that already existed are magnified.
Oh God, no.
So like a fear of sharks, you're more afraid of sharks. Yeah. If you for some reason, we're afraid of this or that or elevators. Yes, you would not get on an elevator. That's an example.
Yeah.
So that's one. Did you know about that?
Well, I didn't.
More extreme anxieties.
No.
Broken tailbones. Apparently, that's common, and it sure wasn't what they expected.
What do you mean?
So you can break bones. I didn't know that during pregnancy.
Well, I mean, I've heard that your hips like crack open.
Yeah. After the birth, a lot of people experience trembling because all of their hormones are out of whack. It really scared somebody who was obviously giving birth and that the nurse told them that it was very normal.
Yeah. So I saw a birthing vlog and I thought it was fascinating because she was shaking so uncontrollably. It was a really vulnerable thing. And like her husband had to hold her hand, but she was like, I'm like so scared. And just like everything was shaking.
Yeah.
Like bad.
So hormones.
Yeah.
Out of whack. And everything is kind of going back to normal.
That makes me sad for them.
But that it's like extreme trembling.
It is. It was extreme.
What does trembling mean?
Como temblar.
Como mucho tembladera.
Shaking.
Yeah.
Uncontrollable though. That must be scary.
It was scary. And it was very, like I said, very vulnerable because she didn't know what was happening to her.
And then the last one is, I'm not sure why this happened, but after my third delivery, my vitamin K levels dropped so drastically, all my toenails fell off over the course of a week. And
that's so painful.
When you really think about it, you are sharing minerals, vitamins, everything that you eat with the baby.
Yes.
And then it's interesting, like, how does the body regulate how much to give and how much to keep?
Great question. However, this is why I hear a lot of doctors don't suggest you get pregnant right after you have your first baby because you need time to like adjust. So,
Nice. Thank you for that.
No, I was going to say something, but it was like a personal story for someone. So I thought about it. That's fine.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally acknowledge that.
That's the thing with podcasts, right? It's like you guys see the pauses. Nobody can edit it out. Yeah.
There's a lot of misconceptions in terms of pregnancies. A lot of people feel like it went really well for them because I ate lettuce, a lot of lettuce, or coffee causes your child to have, you know.
I hear that Pilates is the best workout.
Do you know that though?
Let me tell you, three women that have had kids are like, girl, this is the best for childbirth. That's what they say.
Okay. There's a lot of misconceptions in terms of childbirth. And then there's a lot of misconceptions in terms of real life.
But I mean, at the end of the day, everybody's different. So you know what I mean?
My mom is constantly telling me about things that I'm like, is that really real? Mm-hmm. My best friend recently has been Google whenever my mom tells me something because I can prove it wrong on the spot.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that we were taught in school that ended up being totally wrong or outdated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And then you go back to thinking about that thing and you're like, what the hell? Like, they taught it to me as if it was like a proven fact.
Literally.
As if they knew for like that was the way. And then they just take it all back and it's like never mentioned before.
Can we talk about how every child would start the day with cereal, which is sugar?
I know, right? It wasn't that wild.
Like the commercials, the way it was pushed into parents' face, even on TV shows, it was always a bowl of cereal with milk.
Orange juice.
Orange juice. It's all sugar. You know
bad,
what I
mean? Bad, bad and bad.
Yeah. And then like, no wonder the kid is so hungry. Like I was a fat child.
That, I mean, okay, that goes into like, that goes into like capitalism and marketing and like other stuff.
Sure. And also income.
It all is also about just overall ignorance in terms of nutrition.
And but it wasn't all that ignorance. Stuff. It was misinformation. Because you think about the pyramid, the food pyramid, like you had said, what even did it look like again? I just remember it was.
So food pyramid was this big thing that was funded by, milk companies and bread companies to make people assume or think that they had to have between 10 and 16 servings of bread. And that's why bread was at the base of the food pyramid.
So that's like what, four sandwiches?
Well, if you think about it, if a serving of bread is one slice or two slices, so that would be like, I don't know, like literally eight sandwiches.
Yeah, that's insane.
In a day or grains. Mm-hmm. Like no one needs that much grain, and meats are like in the middle.
But I do want to mention the lactose, the milk thing, because it was pushed down our throats. Have milk. Even for
got
lunch.
Got milk.
Yeah. For lunch, there was always a milk carton.
Yeah.
I grew up with severe lactose intolerance. Severe.
We've actually been a little curious about that, and I believe that she's allergic to milk, which is different from lactose intolerance.
Well, apparently I'm lactose intolerant. That's what
the
doctor has told me. And it's just very interesting that all my life I drank that and I would have horrible rashes. Like I'd go to the hospital bleeding. That's how bad it was. No, seriously, my eczema was so bad. It would flare.
So misinformation, you know, what's that? Those little Lunchable packets. Things for kids.
I love Lunchables.
Graham crackers, animal crackers. All these things for kids are like bad. Like
they're bad.
It's all marketing. Anything that's organic, people say, oh, that's so much better. It's not. Like,
okay,
how do you believe these things?
And then I was so upset when I finally realized how many carbs acai bowls have. I feel like acai bowls were the skinny girl type of meal.
I think it is.
But it has a lot of carbs. So what I'm saying
calories.
Is, It's high in calories and it's high in carbs. But what I'm trying to say is that I would gravitate towards that over meat because I was like, oh, this is so much skinnier. Like, what I mean? And then I'd be hungry as hell because I've had like 40 grams of carbs. And then I'd be like, oh, give me another one because you know what I mean? It just didn't.
I think also culturally, there's like trends that lead people down the wrong path. They assume things are one way and then it turns out being a different way.
But listen, this is why. You guys are going to think I'm a little antiquated here, okay? But I do think there might be something off with proteins.
Why?
Because I've never seen in history...
seen in the history
people,
of mankind.
People consume so much protein, which counteracts how your liver processes and digests. Like, should we really be consuming that much protein, but man-made protein, not real protein? You know what I mean?
Because what is man-made protein?
Man-made protein is protein shakes. Things that, it's not meat. Like, you know what I mean?
It's derived from those things, though.
But not all of it. If you look at the ingredients, it's not all very clean.
Well, how can I put this? Originally, people only believed that you could digest a certain amount of protein every so often. And so bodybuilders used to split their meals into five or six meals per day, capping out at 30 grams of protein per meal. And that's why before bodybuilders had like their little pre-made meals. And what do you call it when you pack all, you do a bunch of food at the weekend, meal prepping, right?
So is that not true?
So that's not true.
That's not true.
So you can actually digest more than 30. You can digest all of your protein in one sitting, right? So as the facts present themselves, people change their opinions. They start to shift the way that they see things, right? For a long time, avocados are so healthy. And then all of a sudden, fats are so bad for you. And now avocados are healthy again. So these are all misinformations. You're taught these things. They're wrong. We kind of dived into nutrition. Yeah. There's other examples.
Oh, sorry. I just wanted to mention one more thing. Like, obviously, I'm not a nutritionist or anything, but I hear that the third most common disease for people under 40 is colon cancer. Mm. And so I think that's like very odd as well. It's more something that's resurfaced. And then some people might argue, well, yeah, a lot of our food is processed and blah, blah, blah. But I wonder about protein shakes, protein bars, fake protein.
You know, I haven't done any studies on colon cancer. I can't say if it's protein or not protein. I don't believe it's protein. I'm assuming it's more the bad food people have eaten. The high fat is difficult to digest. It's
chemicals.
Well, actually, they say that one huge way to reduce it, I think it's by like over 50%, is just not drinking alcohol.
There you go.
That's one way.
Well, anyways, what's one thing people were taught in school back in the day that is totally wrong or outdated now?
Cursive.
Cursive. Cursive is outdated.
Daddy, do you know how to write in cursive?
No, I don't know.
No. Pero sabes qué es?
Letra pegada.
Pega. Sí. Yeah. So my fourth grade teacher made us write in cursive.
All the time?
Because she was like, you have to know how to write in cursive.
Yeah, I remember. Know? I would take little sheets home and they had like these dotted lines and you had to like practice. Yeah,
a mí también pusieron a hacer planas.
Yeah,
but I never learned.
Left brain, right brain, personalities. Outdated.
What is that again?
Isn't real.
What is that again?
Yeah, the creative person has very dominant left brain. Yeah. A logical person has the right brain.
Like, also, how do you assess that? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm just like, I'm a creative kid, I know how to draw.
The human brain's only being used 10%. We haven't unlocked 90% of the bullshit. Like, that's not real either.
You know which one always gets me?
What?
This, oh my God, Cosmopolitan. You really did me here. Supposedly that guys would think about sex every 7 seconds.
That's such a coincidence. I was just thinking about sex. No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
No, and I would sit there in class after I read that. I was like, is he thinking about sex right now? And it would like startle me. I can't believe they would.
Wait, that's so true? Bullshit. Fuck no. Okay. I haven't thought about it all day.
No, I know. I'm just saying, but I think it's...
I've been busy. why would I be at the grocery store looking at ground chicken?
For me neither. For me neither.
Yeah.
No. Maybe if I have a girlfriend, I
there's a moment. Her,
yeah, it's a moment. It's a private moment.
No,
I mean... No, pero es pensar que cada 7 segundos uno piensa en sexo.
I think it's morbo. Eso ya es pasado. Puede ser morboso, ya es otra cosa.
No, I was just saying how like the stat was like, ladies, like you have to know this. Like they made it so real.
No, totally bullshit. Yeah. If he's mean to you, he has a crush on you.
Oh God, please don't.
Did you ever have some guy being mean to you?
Yes.
And he actually ended up being that he had a crush on you?
Questionable. I don't know why some guys, that's like their thing. They like to treat girls bad, but that's not my thing.
But so it doesn't necessarily mean that they have a crush on you.
Oh,
when someone,
no.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, totally.
That if someone is mean, it doesn't always mean that they have a crush on you. They could just be mean.
You know, that reminds me of like old movies where they would always do that. It's like, oh my God, all of a sudden he has a crush on you. But it also reminds me of like when the girl would like take off her glasses and like all of a sudden she's a supermodel.
Yeah.
It's like you just took off your frames. It was so weird. All those
It's always
things.
The frames and the change of the hairstyle.
Yeah.
And then like the way that they dress or
a
braces
little bit of
or
makeup.
Whatever. But yeah, I mean, Hey Arnold, do you remember Hey Arnold? Helga was like his bully. They always argued.
Oh,
ended
yeah.
up that she liked him.
That's true.
Yeah, that was like a thing, but
that was a thing.
Now it's just they're bullies.
They're bullies.
It's very odd to have a crush on a bully. Although, unless you're like a simp and like, that's like what you're into, but like, that the appendix has no purpose.
Oh, I've heard of that a lot. Tell me about that.
So that's, the appendix is actually a little spot in your stomach or in your intestines or down there somewhere. Uh-huh. And its purpose is actually to keep a little microbiome of your bacteria
really?
Safe.
Oh.
it prevents antibiotics from killing all of the bacteria in your body. And it's like a way of preventing illnesses. Your appendix does have a purpose.
Everything has a purpose. Everything yes. does. I feel like you and I were talking about that one day. We were like, what is the part of the body that is the most purposeless? Was it like the earlobes that were like,
was that it?
I don't know, but we were
I can't remember that.
Yeah, we had that conversation. It really got me thinking. And I was like, I really do wonder. But you know, recently, one of my friends is going to get their gallbladder removed.
Yeah.
What does that impact?
The gallbladder creates bile. So bile helps digest fat. So she probably is going to be advised to avoid fatty foods.
Oh, interesting.
And didn't your mom get her gallbladder removed too?
That's what I thought. Or was it her appendix?
No, gallbladder. I'm pretty certain.
Yeah.
Your gallbladder is actually inside of your liver.
Oh, so
It's not a good surgery, but also not risky. It's like, obviously you'd prefer to have a gallbladder.
Totally. 100%.
And then the last one is you won't just have a calculator in your pocket all the time.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, I have ChatGPT now, teachers.
How often do you rely on ChatGPT now?
A lot.
For a lot of things, even the basic things?
I think I'm going to use ChatGPT for my financial.
It's the best.
That would be.
I can because she's going to.
Can I tell you something?
Okay.
Before you start. Oh, and then I want you to respond to this.
Okay.
So David uses my computer.
Okay.
He's been using an app called Pages.
What's that?
On the computer. And I see your essays.
What's that?
I can see the papers that you write on the computer because it's shared.
Oh, nuh-uh.
I can see. And I mean, that does not sound like you at all.
Oh.
You need to be careful.
Wait, can you pull one up? I want to see.
No.
No?
The last one, I did it really good. I did it with my right. I can show you if you want.
Yeah, show me. I want to see.
I have it here.
If we have time.
Okay, can you pull up one of the essays and like read us like maybe like the first two, three sentences? No,
but listen. But he was telling me this the other day. He was like that the teacher sat them down. I can tell this, right?
Yeah, no problem. My life is...
the teacher sat them down and he was like, there's some people in here who don't really speak the way that they are writing.
Yeah.
And be careful.
Yeah, be careful, guys, because sometimes you don't sound like you. If you guys really want to practice with me, I'm going to leave you an assignment and you have to write it. Like, if you really want to learn, she says us that and she's going to give you extra point.
But that, so, can you read me something? I'm so curious.
Okay, yeah.
Pull it up. So yeah, ChatGPT. Okay. There's actually more competition for ChatGPT now.
There is?
Google released a new one called Gemini, by the way, as he's pulling up his doc.
Oh, no, but...
No,
but,
read it.
Oh, you know?
Read it.
Okay. Or you can share it if it's easier on the screen.
No, I can share
it. He can't share it.
Okay. Yeah, or I can read it then. Fine. If you want me to, I can read it.
Okay, pass it. I got it.
You got it? Oh, it's so nice to stretch.
Can you talk into the mic?
It's nice to stretch. I'm currently
stretching. We're about to read David's English essay.
David, your last name is Bija, right? Okay. So, what happened?
No, I'm just trying to see if this is the one that I had seen.
All right.
Is it el final?
So, oh, this is the final one?
Sí.
Oh, so this is... Okay. Good. All right.
So fue muy difícil para mí. Just hear that.
Can I just say that be so proud of yourself because you are learning a new language.
That was so hard and she put me... Ya me puso a ganar, sinceramente. She put me to win.
So it says...
I don't lose the team.
Okay, it says, things that I like and don't like about social media. Oh, okay. Social media is a biggest thing. Is like everyone was... Is this one that you saw? This sounds like...
Sí. Ese fue el que yo escribí sin usar ChatGPT.
Ah, no,
sin
okay.
That's very different from the one I saw.
You want to see that?
Yeah, that's the one I want to see.
Wait. Wait, finish. Read the first paragraph of that and then we'll read ChatGPT's paragraph.
Okay, well... There's a few spelling errors. So I'm going to, so social media is a biggest thing, is like everyone can socialize between each other. One of the examples of social media can be Instagram is one of the biggest one. I like Instagram because you can post what you like. The best example is me. I love to see the comments and funny posts because the comments are so funny too. I laugh so much. In addition, I would
Keep going. Keep it together.
Can I tell you guys something? Oh my god, no, I hate being like this. I don't know what it is, but if you want to get me to laugh, is literally I would get kicked out of my first class every time for laughing. I hate that about myself. I'm sorry.
Sometimes I'm talking and she starts laughing like for anything. And people, I tell you, she starts laughing for. And I say, Natalie, what happened? And not.
Oh, yeah. I laugh so much. In addition, I like how you can catch new ideas from Instagram. For me, I like exclusive clothes. So I follow people with the same likes and I catch so many ideas how to dress better.
No. Is that all a run-on sentence with no period? Does that not have a period?
Or with no. No, I mean, I'm still proud. Okay, next.
Okay.
Give me one of the other ones.
No, give me. Let me give him ChatGPT. Second, really the ChatGPT.
Yeah, I'm gonna have one though. I'm gonna have one.
That's really good.
Boy, you need some work.
No, I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you. You try to write in Spanish.
Yeah, it's not that good.
I'm like good. For you know, like, guys, for writing for me is the most hard.
It's like hard. Yeah,
you like speak- read. I can read and I can speak by writing. Damn, yeah. The word.
En español también le da dificultad.
No, en español sí me hace super. Ir con puntos, no. Comas.
Su calificación.
No, sí.
Su calificación en español en Colombia ¿cómo era?
It's like a B.
Pa español.
Pa español. Pero es que español en Colombia es una crazy thing, guys. I can tell you. Colombia, like, you have to know about, like, subjetivos.
It's hard.
Porque, yeah, no, en mi colegio era súper estricto para esas cosas.
No, es que David era el 100 años de soledad. By Marquez.
All right, ChatGPT, come on. I want to compare. It's so different. I saw that shit and I laughed.
It's so, so different.
I was doing our analytics. I used Pages on the Mac. And I'm like, what the fuck is this essay doing here? And then I click on it. It's like, David Bidia, final. And then like I read it and I just laughed so hard.
But you know, as a teacher, it must be hard because like, how do you test if somebody really...
Bro. you just know. There's just words that people don't use.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just not common language.
Yeah, that's true. That was a really great laugh. Thank you, guys. I was trying.
Come on, David, pull it up.
No, he's hard.
And Pages.
Why don't you read us one of your facts while he...
Oh, sure. Yeah. Dennis's fun facts of the week, guys. I forgot I even had this. This moment was too funny.
Okay, what made you a business person?
Whoa, yeah. Pass it over.
This is con ChatGPT.
Sí.
Ooh. What makes you a business person? Okay.
Okay.
So I have a question. When you do write this.
I think I saw the social media one, the same one with GPT though.
No. El de social media fue por final.
But David, when you actually take it, do you change out some stuff or no?
No. Okay. So what I do, I chat to ChatGPT, do a paragraph with 3 connections. Pero I text in español and I say, please in English. But I never do it casual. Like, you give me a suggest. This guy give me a suggest.
Yeah. Even ChatGPT is confused. Like,
yeah. So Natalie suggested that whenever he uses ChatGPT to write it casually.
Yeah.
Because it was like fucking report level all right, stuff.
So this is by David Villa. What makes a good business person? To be a good business person, there are 4 characteristics you need to have. The first skill they need to have is adaptability. The business world changes all the time and keeps flow with the right jobs that they go to. a business person needs to be able to adapt to the environment around them, whether that comes to market trends or new technology. A second skill that needs is resilience. There will be setbacks and challenges in the resilient. Business world.
No sé ni qué es eso.
Resilient. No, yeah, this is definitely more, yeah.
It's well written.
Claro, no, con eso saqué una buena nota. But you know that's bad about school because yeah, if I'm not going for a no, I really want to learn sitting.
Yeah.
Pero yo lo tengo que hacer porque voy a sacar mala nota. If I'm not doing
yeah.
good, you.
But you know what, David, you are excelling in the life language category. What happened? Why you make that
no,
face?
No, nothing.
No, you are. Why? Because yes, you practice, you speak, you that's the most important.
No,
one.
I give it my best for real. I want to learn a new language and
I practice
by writing.
Okay, let me be real right now. I saw a TikTok of there was like these people in an auditorium at a university.
Yeah.
And so there's like extensions on Chrome now that use AI to read questions and to give you answers. It's like really advanced Chegg. Like, did you ever hear of Chegg when you were in school?
Oh, yeah. Chegg. The books.
Yeah. But Chegg is now also a website to find questions and answers.
Oh, yes. I remember. I think it had a different name for me, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's still called Chegg or was Chegg.
Okay.
It's like that, but on crack. Like, I'm telling you, like, this thing, like, will pull up questions from, like, 19 whatever and use examples and answer for you on the spot, multiple choice. And so people aren't studying, and they're just hitting, like, these Chrome extensions to, like, answer everything for them, getting A's or whatever.
That must be nice.
But I would hate to know that my fucking dentist faked their entire degree and is working on ripping out my molars in that moment. Like, how are you going to know that people with degrees actually know what they were doing?
I think they have tienen como un momento como que los entrenan para antes de decir, like, practice, you know? No, yeah. It's just everything. No, that's true. No, I got it what you say because that's true. You have to know about what are you doing because yeah. you can hurt somebody. But... you know, people is like that, and we never gonna know about who is using ChatGPT and yeah. win the career for just that.
I just gotta say,
but I mean, at the end of the day, you're cheating yourself.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, you will have the setback.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yes, it'll happen. It'll bubble up to the surface, and you will be exposed.
Yes, and that's not fun. But I can understand the charm of wanting to try that.
I just want to pass the class. Yes, that's good too. I have a very brief example. When I took anatomy in college, the class was split into two classes, actually. Mm-hmm. It was the practical exam and the like hands-on lab. Mm-hmm. And so the practical exams and like the in-class stuff was like book shit. Like you got to learn it. It's in the book. It's in the PowerPoint. Okay. It's in the slides.
Yeah.
Then you go to the actual like exam in the lab and they have like mannequins and then there's like 35, 40 stations and it's like organs and shit like laid out on the table and it'll be like a skeleton. And so you'll go from one station to the next and then it'll have a tiny arrow pointing at a bone like in the neck. And it's like, what is this?
Oh,
and you're,
that's good.
And you're going from thing to thing. And you're like looking at it and then you're like, oh shit. Like they're testing
that's
you
good.
On the
that's
spot
really
of what you see.
Wow. I never knew that.
Right. Hands-on. Like that is
that's
completely
impressive.
Different. And that's 50% of the grade.
Yeah.
Compared to class.
So why do you think they do it like that? Because the more on hands-on one feels like the best.
No? So a lot of people are very book smart, but they can't use it.
Yeah.
They can't do it. There's other people that are much better at like seeing things, but then they're not book smart. Mm. That's to prove that you can connect
both in one.
In
that's
one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, my best class that I ever like that gave me the most value, which was the professional selling program. They had a lot of hands-on thing. We never had homework, but we had actual people, like we had to do role plays and sell them too. Does that make sense? So everything was very like hands-on and It was the one that I learned the most in.
That's and you good. Can't cheat that.
That's fun.
No, you can't cheat that. It was really fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Not to say that, like, well, okay, first of all, I want to say that I knew about sororities and fraternities that would share answers. Even for the lab practicals, ahead of time, they would, as someone was leaving the practical, they would like tell other people like, oh, they're pointing at the bone right here. And then like they would all try to like talk about it, right? But what a lot of people didn't know was as the classes were shifting, they would grab the arrows and switch them to other parts of the body so that they couldn't share questions.
Oh, that makes sense.
Obviously, yeah.
So I might have shared this story, but I think it's kind of fun to share. One of my friends, this was in high school, okay? So we all cheated. We all knew we were going to fail this exam. It was math. Math is my worst subject. I was like, I need the answers. We were all like, I got you. The last class gave it to me. There's only one exam. Which, first of all, it's a little dumb, I think, of the teacher.
What do you mean just one exam?
No, actually, that is the way that it should be. But basically, because there was just one exam, we could share answers.
Everybody's sitting next to each other?
Versus, no one's sitting next to each other. Like, it's only exam A versus this is one. It has different questions. Well,
maybe they don't know that. Can you explain to them?
Yeah. So basically the exam, let's say it said it had 10 questions. They were all identical. So if somebody was like, it's A, B, C, D, A, B, C, D, then we would all be able to share, right?
En la Universidad de Abby, por ejemplo, si usted le dan A, al del lado le dan B y al del otro lado le dan C. Entonces, todas las preguntas de todos los alrededor suyo son todos diferentes.
Yeah.
So that's like the smart way, I think, to do things, or maybe teachers caught on. But basically, this guy who wasn't the top of the class in math, here's what he does, right? We all get the exam. We're all cheating.
And then he stands up and hands it in. What a dumbass.
He took like 5 minutes.
No way.
Okay. So the teacher looks at him and he's like, why did that take you only 5 minutes to do? Like, first of all, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second of all, you're never the first to like get up. So like immediately called us all up, was like, we're redoing this. And so the next time he was like, this is exam A, this is exam B, this is exam C. But I was just like, the ego that this boy had to be like, yeah, I'm done, you know, like you were cheating.
No, que tonto, que rabia. Ay, me da mucha rabia.
And that then, sounds like a cheater mad at other cheaters.
No, because I'm cheating in high school too. What you mean?
But you know what the worst part was, that and I think this is good on the teacher's part, is he said, go back to your seat and show me how you got those answers.
Dumbass.
Because he didn't show his work. It made no sense. It was just, the moment he got up, I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, why? Like, why is he getting up? So,
you know, there were moments in high school where I would finish exams really, really fast. But then there were times that I swear there was like that one dumb kid that was like getting up and going. And I was like, there's no goddamn way. Like, you just know.
But they got the people. They got the digits. Honestly, those people, it's not that these kids are dumb. They're very socially active, and they have ways of getting these answers.
It's always been like that, though.
It is.
That's just how college is and high school
not
or
college.
Whatever.
College better not be like that. You can get expelled.
No, it would happen.
Well, high school as well, but like in college, we have to be
careful.
Well,
the thing is, like, what is considered cheating? Right. Because, for example, we had a TA who already had taken the class. And so if you ever went to his TA, like study lectures, he would bring his exams from like 3 years prior from the same teacher. Mm-hmm. And then he would teach us from his experience of what happened. Are the questions going to be identical? No. But like he used that
that's
as
not
a
cheating.
That's not cheating.
And he's a TA.
Now, if someone whips out a test from like literally that same semester.
Here's the thing. You want to know what cheating is?
From another class.
That's good.
You know
that's
what bad. Cheating is?
That's good.
I'm just kidding, guys. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, dedicated no. Hell no, I don't believe anything you say anymore.
Listen. No, for real. I'm good. If not, I can't even kind of speak English.
That's true.
That's true.
No, cheating is anything you do in secrecy. If you're hiding in the dark about something, there's something off.
Conniving. Something evil.
Those are the things that are bad.
All right, I can move in finally into Dennis's fun facts of the week.
Well, I'm going to hit me with that fun. Some.
Hit me that song, Davi.
What song? Okay, I surprise you.
Just surprise me. Something smooth. Oh, no, yeah. No,
this one. All
right, that one's fine. So piranhas are actually typically peaceful scavengers. Their reputation is based on a story from Teddy Roosevelt, who was an old president of ours. He went to visit Brazil, the Amazon rainforest, mm-hmm. and the Amazonians starved their fish for a week before feeding a cow to it in front of them and seeing like all these piranhas attack it. So that kind of links with our misinformation mm-hmm. topic that we talked about.
Are you saying if you fall into a
from what I've heard
thing in Brazil,
if you fall into a piranha infested water,
yeah,
nothing should happen to you unless you have a cut on your period. I never thought about that. I had never thought about that. Well, then I guess.
So wait, can I just say how I went on a brand trip and we all got on a fun boat and it was so cool. Like we got to swim in the ocean in the middle, right? And then we would all get off the boat and there was like a, what do you call it? One of those like water mats that you just float on the mat water. Oh my God, yeah. Sorry, none of that made sense.
I kind of am grasping what you're saying.
The period. The point is I was on my period and I'm like, I'm in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not going to go in there just in case. You know what I mean?
I don't know if your period would attract sharks, though.
Who knows? I'm not going to risk it.
There's like this tale of like a drop of blood can attract a shark from like 2 miles away.
I'm not going to be the test dummy.
Anyways, my other fact kind of aligns with that, actually, that the film Jaws caused neurosis in a viewer.
Me.
I didn't know what neurosis was, but it is the irrational fear, obsessive thought, compulsive act, or disassociative state. Someone was experiencing that after trouble sleeping and anxiety. She experienced convulsions.
But I'm confused by what?
She was extremely scared of sharks.
Oh, yeah.
After the movie Jaws.
Me too.
A study found that Jaws is unusually effective among films in causing stress, using its suspense, gore, and music.
Oh.
Why was that movie so good at scaring people?
It really marked me. It really did.
To this day, you're afraid of sharks.
To this day, I'm afraid of sharks.
Did you watch the whole movie?
I don't remember. But I remember being on the attraction that they had at Epcot. Was it Epcot?
No, it was Universal.
Universal. Well, so there was like a lot of like hype around sharks and like this and that and the fear of them. And then there was like that surfer girl that didn't. There was like a lot in my time.
Blues. That one movie.
It's just like I'm still scared of sharks. It's
something about that song.
I'm like, still scared of like blue water. Da-dun. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. It's all the teeth. It's the fact that his eyes look weird and they're big and just.
Are you sure you're not experiencing neurosis?
No, I am probably. I get scared.
Anyways, thanks guys for tuning in. Episode 50 of the Natalie and Dennis Show.
We didn't mention that. Shoot.
We're halfway. Shoot. 100 episodes. We're midway. Thank you so much for tuning in. Fridays 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Thank you so
Who
much.
Who knows what we'll talk about next week? Thanks for tuning in.
Bye bye.
Hit me with the outro song, please.
Oh, yo, I got
Don't forget Mr. Cheater, Mr. ChatGPT.